you must be able to apply the word. And Sister Mills, application in many cases is a little more difficult than the transformation of information or the instruction of information. Application is tough, but it is key. And because in application, you sometimes have what we have in chapter 9. In chapter 9, Family Church School, we see two truths that appear to be opposite. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Two items that are true. And on the surface, it appears that how can both of them be true when they appear to be opposite? Well, Mama told me there would be days like this, that there would be days when you could not figure out all that has been shared with you, that when you put it to life's test, when you try to apply that which you've learned, it just don't make sense. And because mothers are naturally teachers and nurturers, they would tell you to do two things. In the world, when the world throws you a fastball, just keep on reading. But in God's life, what you do is ultimately just trust God. Every mother who's a mother must first of all acquaint their child with God, must bring the instructions necessary, but then must guide that child in the application of that word. Here, Paul stops his discourse and shows us how to apply the gospel. He's told you what the gospel was. He told you what the gospel can do. And now he says, here's how it's applied. Here's a real life situation of how it's applied. And how it's applied sometimes just don't make sense. But it's in those moments where it doesn't make sense that you must remember that Mama told me it was going to be like this. Mama should have told me that it was going to be like this. You don't want to say that. You want to say that I had a mother who told me that there would be times in this life that I would not fully understand all that is going on in my life. But it's one thing that I can remember. Trust God. Every mother, I believe, should have become acquainted with verse 9. Every Christian mother should have certainly become acquainted with verse 9, so that when children had those challenging questions later on in life, and even early in life, that they would be able to adequately address them. As we begin to read this morning, remember these things that Mama told you. I'm gonna ask Sister Harriet Taylor, are you on? I think I heard her. Sister Harriet Taylor.
He's here.
Maybe. Sister Taylor, are you there? No, Sister Taylor's not there. She's celebrating Mother's Day.
No, she's okay. Here. She's okay. On mute.
Sister Harriet, you might have to unmute yourself.
But it's all right. It's Mother's Day. Steve Harmon. If I can't get Harriet, I'll get Harmon. You're still muted, Steve. I guess you guys just want me to talk today. Okay, all right. Sister Mills, if you would.
I'm unmuted now, I'm good.
Oh, you're unmuted? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Steve, I'd like for you just to read the first three verses there. And there, because I think in those first three and others, it tells you the first thing that your mother should have told you. Steve?
Okay. Romans.
Okay. Romans 9 and 6, 7 and 8.
Not as enough the word of God hath taken none effect, for there are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted by for the seed.
Mama should have told you that, first of all, God never fails because his word never fails. God never fails, his word never fails. And the reason why his word never fails is that his word is God and God is his word. There is no failure in God. So when life throws you that curveball that says, I don't understand that this particular issue, then you've got to remember God never fails. And here, Paul is talking about it in light of salvation, because he's just told you that life, that salvation is a free gift and it is not of works. And then he concludes last week by telling you that it's all about God. You have nothing to do with it. As a matter of fact, Paul told us last week to lead us into this application lesson that God elected his people. So the question here becomes, if he did God, are God's plans frustrated? Because isn't everybody going to be saved? I thought all would be saved. And Paul here seems to indicate in his discourse that no, God is sovereign. Oh, that's something else Mama should have told us, is that God never fails and that God is sovereign. So the choices of a sovereign God are never to be questioned, but the choices of a sovereign God are to be trusted. And he says it right here. In verses 6 through 8, he said, no. He says, God's word hasn't failed. God chose a people. God chose people. It's God's people. Because it was God's choice. And you said, well, how does God's choice reconcile with what I am to do? Paul says, I told you last week, you have nothing to do with your salvation. It is all God. And while you were shouting and rejoicing and thinking that you could do the works of the law, you still haven't grasped the fact that it is by a sovereign God who elected you, who slay the Lamb of Calvary before man ever existed, that salvation comes about. God, I don't understand that. And many of you, as you studied this lesson this week, may have said, I don't understand that. I don't understand how it can be God's choice, but yet God holds me accountable. See, those are two polar opposite truths. God's choice, but my responsibility, my accountability, rather. God's choice, but my accountability. Mama says, always remember who God is, and if you remember who he is, you can trust him. Because right now, some objections are about to be raised. Steve, read two more verses for me. Verse 9 and 10.
Okay. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah will have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also has conceived by one, even by our father Isaac.
See, Monty, what happened is that all the Jews believed that all of them would be saved because of their heritage, because of God's promises to Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob, that all of them as a nation would be saved. That is perfectly consistent with what we know about and what we have just got through studying about salvation, is that it is not of natural birth. You're not born saved. Just because mama and daddy was saved does not mean that you are saved. You're not born. You know, some people say, I was born in the church. That don't make you saved. All that does is provide you an environment for you to receive the information and then adequately respond to it. Remembering that God knows who will respond. Now, I believe that. I ain't talking about the Calvinists or the Arminians. I'm talking about, I believe the word of God. That if God's word, because Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. But I also believe that it was God's sovereign choice because of his knowledge who would be saved. And that if you are the elected of God, it is demonstrated. Someone's on an iPhone. Does someone have a question that's on an iPhone?
No, I got him. I made it.
Okay. Well, if they have a question, we can deal with it. God is a God of promise. And I don't know about your mother, but my mother and my grandmother believe that if God makes a promise, he's going to keep it. You can trust God. And no matter how confusing life gets, you remember one promise. If he promised he was going to do it, he's going to do it. But you got to understand the promise. And here, Steve has just read that he says that God made a promise to Abraham and to Sarah that they would have a son. And not only this, but when Rebecca also conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. God told Rebecca that the older would serve the younger. long before they were born. It had already been decided. And so the promise, certainly, that's why in verses starting with 6 here, he says, no, you can trust God. God's word hasn't failed. Because who has been called, we saw that last week, God justifies. But it is God who does the calling. So it is clearly God's choice, but our responsibility. Paul will later on to discuss that responsibility next week in 10. Accountability. This is our responsibility and accountable. This is how we are accountable to the choices that God made before the foundation of the world. God made a choice to kill his son for Adam's sin, before Adam's sin. Oh, y'all better hear this. And so in it, God also had a divine purpose. And that purpose, I shared with you a couple of weeks ago, Jesus died and men get saved. Application is tough. So, Steve, you're off the hook. Sister Mills, would you pick up 12 and 13 for me?
Yes, sir. Verse 12, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated.
I couldn't let Steve read that. Steve is too much of a Christian to read that.
What does that
especially
mean?
Verse 14, especially 14, Sister Mills. Because when you get to shout and says, okay, yeah, I got it before the foundation of the world, you now have to read verse 13. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. I thought God is love. See? God, Mama should have told me that God is love. But wait a minute. The word says he hated Esau. I told you words are like people. They are known by the company that they keep. You got to know what words mean. Jacob, I've loved. Esau, I've loved. Jacob, I love. Esau, I love. Brother Sneed, you're not making any sense because I read the word hated there. Rejected. God can reject even those he loves because he's sovereign. So, wait a minute. Now I know why Mama treated Steve one way and Gloria the other way. Now I know why Robert was treated like this and Lathan was treated like that. It's all God's love. But God knows everything. And that's what I have to hang my hat on, is that he knows everything. And that his choices are perfectly just. So knowing what I know about the word of God, I've got to know one thing. I've got to use the gospel. I've got to share the gospel because God has made a choice about someone who will respond to that gospel when they hear it from you and me. But the corresponding responder is already inside man, the chosen man, the elected of God. And what this lesson tells us is that God elected a people and he elected people. Oh, y'all didn't. He elected a people and he elected people. The Jews, yes, were chosen, and they were chosen for a purpose. But Paul will go on to give this dissertation that every Jew that is born a Jew is not heir to the promise or the election of God. There will be Jews that will be saved, just as there will be Gentiles that will be saved. And the operative word that's missing in some of our vocabulary there is some. All will not be saved. God foreknew it, and you and I know it, because there are some folk who will not respond, who will not have accountability, who did not do it in eternity past, so they cannot do it in eternity present. We view things from a man's perspective, but as we have to see the will and the purposes of God, not men. And when things don't seem right to us, the only thing we can do is trust the one that we know is true, God. Verse 14, Sister Mills.
What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid.
I'll let you answer that. I'll let anyone that's on this Zoom call right now interrupt and start a dissertation on and answer that question. Because he asked the Jews. He says, now, based on what you just heard, you've got the instruction. Now, can you apply what you just heard? He said, is God unjust then? Will he do more for some than he will do others? Has he done more for Linda than he has Matt? Paul says, God forbid. Paul says, that is not true. He said, because the other thing that you know about God is that he is perfectly just. See, it is man. You know, we wrote a constitution to the United States. And in that preamble, Steve, it says that all men are created equal. But are all men dealt with the same way? Think about your mother. And if you had siblings, did your mother treat you the way that that she treated maybe your brother? Now see, in a politically correct world, Sister Phyllis, you know what they would say? My mother didn't do no more for one than she did for the other. I didn't ask you that. Well, you're all treated the same. I tell you, it's a resounding no. Because any mother knows her child, and she knows what her child needs.
Right.
Some children needs the strong hand of a mother or father. Some children need the strong heart of a mother or father. Because one gets a heart and the other gets a hand, they're treated differently? No. They are treated according to their need. If God was just, if God is perfectly just, and everybody should get justice, we'd all go to hell. That's what mother should have told you. Because all of us are sinners. There are none righteous. He has meticulously told us that from 1 through 8. So if God treated us all the same, all of us would be hell, go to hell based on justice. But we know one thing, and Mama told us, God is a just God. Read verse 15.
For he said it to Moses,
he's a just God. Listen, folks, this is so key to your understanding, to your application. Because see, you understand it, but can you apply? Read 15 again, Sister Mills. Sorry for interrupting.
For he said it to Moses, mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.
The other thing that mom should have told us is that God is sovereign, and so he can have mercy on whoever he wants to. And he can have compassion on whomever he wants to. His word is clear. He told Moses that. And just because Moses, you had an opportunity to get a glimpse at the glory of God, it's because God elected you to do that. But it doesn't make you more valuable than Linda Mills. God is compassionate and he's merciful. But he shows that compassion and mercy for whomever he wishes, because he is a sovereign God. I know it is difficult to reconcile the sovereign choices of God with our accountability. That is tough, but that's an application that you've got to make. Is that God, first of all, knows all, he cares for all, he is just, and he will do whatever he wants to do. Is his choice. You're his people by his choice. Not anything that you can do. So if you didn't do anything to get saved, you can't do anything to get unsaved. If you didn't do anything to get elected, you can't do anything to get unelected. You can't have a recall on your salvation. But it's something that is left up to God and God alone. Verse 16.
So then, is it not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy?
Did y'all see that? He sums it up right back with, and it's not a circular argument there. He says that, so then, can you see that it is out of the will and the purposes of God that we are saved, not by anything that you do? See, so how do I apply that? Here's how I apply that when it comes to salvation. Me, he's talking to a particular group now, but it has a universal application. Here's how I view that. I don't work to get saved. I work because I am saved. Ain't nothing I do. It's out of the will of God. God made a choice. And now I work in gratitude for that choice. I work, do the work, whatever that work is. I work because I understand that choice. And I understand that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation So therefore, that gospel needs to be shared to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. Paul goes on and says that the Jews rejected Jesus. Jesus became a stumbling block for the Jews. And Paul has already cleared it up. He says, not all of y'all are the Jews of promise. You see, when we start talking about this all and all of that, you got to understand all what? Whosoever believeth is not all of y'all. Ah, mama, I'm glad you told me that. Because it tells me I can never take anything for granted. It tells me that I've got to trust God. I've got to trust that he makes sovereign choices. I've got to trust his promises. And I got to trust that I have an accountability in all of that. He is divinely sovereign, but yet I have divine accountability. The accountability is the application of the instruction, of the word, of the information that I have. And so he's trying to make these Jews understand that, first of all, the law is not going to save you. First of all, you're not going to be saved just simply because you're a Jew. And secondly, the law can't save you. God has already made that determination. You can work all day long. You can do whatever you want to do in your efforts, your runneth. That's what that's talking about. Your working will avail you nothing because of God's divine choice. Sister Mills, 17.
For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth.
Give me 18 also, because we're running.
Therefore he hath mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth.
Because I know some of you said, well, Brother Sneed, if God has made the choice already, that means what about the people who want to be saved? Because didn't Pharaoh want to be saved? Wasn't Pharaoh one of the all? Yeah, that's what they're saying. That's what they're asking. See? Because what it says is that God hardened the heart. In other words, you made a divine choice in eternity. And there is nothing that you will do on this earth after you're born. He's saying, you know, he made a choice between Isaac and Jacob before they were born, before they had a chance to do anything wrong or right, Sister Ogletree. God made that distinction. The folk that are going to hell are not going to hell because God didn't let them in. They're going to hell because they wanted to go there. And God is never going to violate your free will. And so you said, well, how does he know? Well, I have to go to Jeremiah. That's me. Some will not go there, but I go to there. God knew me in my mother's womb. He knew exactly the day that I would even attempt this lesson. He knew exactly the times that I've struggled with this very verse and chapter. But he says, mom and dad, raise up a child in the way that he should go. And when he gets old, he will not depart from it. Every mother ought to tell a child that, son, God is true to his promise. And if you will just accept his promise, it means that you're one of the chosen ones. The people who don't accept the promise are the ones that condemn themselves. And they will show it. Pharaoh is a good example. He was saying, God? Oh, no. See, the more God was demonstrated in the life of Pharaoh, the more he rejected it. God was hardening that heart. God was not going to let him go against his will. Your will is free. So God just turned you over. That's what turning over to a reprobate mind is. God turned you over to yourself. Let you deal with yourself. Mama should have told me that God is sovereign. He makes sovereign choices. That God is a God of promise. That God can be trusted at everything. That God knows what we don't know. And therefore, we must lean not to our own understanding, but we must depend totally on God. And remember one thing, God is sovereign. That's how you apply this lesson. Verse 19, 20, and 21, Sister Mills, and then we can go.
Thou wilt say unto me, why does he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Mm-hmm. Nay, but, O man, who out there that repealeth against God, shall this thing form say unto him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another vessel unto dishonor? Sorry, y'all.
This is a nugget just for Sister Billingsley. Everybody else can drop off the line. This is for Sister Billingsley. Sister Phyllis, what these three verses tell us is that you don't have the right to question God. Every mother should tell or should have told their child, never question the rights of God. You don't have that right. Because it is God who made you. Can you tell God that from one lump of clay, you can form one figure and make it the way that you want to, set it aside for something special, honor, and take from that same lump of clay and make another figure? That you don't honor, that you dishonor. Is it not your right to do that if you're the potter, if you're the maker? The clay has no right to tell the potter how to make it. Oh, y'all don't hear me. That is so good. Because that's what we do. Because what will happen is that Paul has listened to all the objections of the Jews up to this point. And what they're saying is that just ain't right. Why should God have done that? Because God is sovereign. And his will be done. And if he's sovereign, he can make sovereign choices. But you, the created, cannot tell the creator what, how, and when he should do something or to whom. That is strictly the sovereign's prerogative. Once you get that, you now realize that everybody who's saying that I'm saved ain't saved. And everybody who says I'm going to be saved ain't going to be saved. Because you and I don't know But there is one who knows, the one who made us. I'm going to trust the one who made us. Even when two truths seem totally opposite. Well, y'all think about it. If you're giving us some thought. But I'm looking at it from man's perspective and not God's when I do that. I don't see any disparity between chapters 1 through 8 and chapters 9, 10, and 11. As a matter of fact, when we get to chapter 10 next week, we're going to see what our accountability is from God's choices. Application, my final word on this Mother's Day. Do you remember a scripture over in, it's Deuteronomy, that says, "And a woman should not wear that which pertaineth to a man, and a man should not wear that which pertaineth to a woman. For to do so," okay? Y'all familiar with that scripture? It's Deuteronomy 22 and 5, by the way. Well, you've heard the words, you know the instructions, you know the scripture, you know the meaning of all those words. Here's how most people have applied that, Sister Joyce. Women should not wear pants in church. I'm looking at the faces. Bobby Key, Red, Paulette, I'm looking at the faces. See, that's the application. Many have used that as an application. How many of you know that it's patently wrong? Just raise your hand. And what it is that you understood the words. You say you understood the meaning, but yet we've applied it incorrectly. Paul is saying the same thing here in chapter 9. Don't take the word that you've received and then apply it incorrectly. It's the one thing that you can do. You may not know Greek, Hebrew, you may not know the customs of the time, but you can know one thing. God is no respecter of person, and that he's perfectly just, but he does what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, and to whom he wants to do it. Because you misapply scripture does not hold God responsible for the actions you take. So when you said a certain segment of our society can't wear a certain thing, that's not in the scriptures. That's a misapplication of scripture. And Paul this morning is saying, every mother knows that you can trust God in his sovereign choices. You can trust him in the small things, and you certainly can trust him in the big things. Happy Mother's Day to all. I'll see you guys next week. And next week, we're going to talk about out of all of this sovereignty of God's choices, what is our accountability? Chapter 10.